Isaiah 52, about the middle of your Bible, and look at verse 7. Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, and saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Now down the chapter to verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonied or astonished at thee, his visage, that's a word that appears to the face and really the whole appearance, his visage was so marred. It was changed. It was altered. More than any man, or more than a man. And his form, his countenance, his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouth at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, the punishment of our peace, so we could have peace, was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Now we have begun reading with the idea of one that's publishing peace, good tidings of peace. And we have finished reading with how that peace can come about, how that peace can be your peace. The chastisement, the punishment for your peace and mine was upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and by his stripes we are healed. This is a lovely passage of scripture that has to deal with the Lord, brings the central figure as the Lord Jesus. It's all about the Lord Jesus. Now this is written 800 years before what Brody read about in the Gospel of John in Revelation chapter 20, about 800 years before John got that vision of this great white throne suspended in space where souls will meet God. 800 years earlier, Isaiah is writing of another vision, another place where our vision should be focused, and he uses this word, behold. So I have three words that begin with B, just to help us all remember this part of the meeting tonight. Behold, that's our first word. It's just like John got a vision. He said, I saw a great white throne. So Isaiah is saying, here's another vision to see. Again, this comes before, but he says, if you want to have peace, if you want to avoid that day of judgment, if you do not want to be there to meet God, then he says, you've got to get this vision. Behold, behold, see it. There's something to see. The second word that begins with B is in the beginning of chapter 53. It's belief. Who hath believed our report? So behold has to do with a revelation. We were hearing about a revelation. And this is the greatest revelation a soul could ever have, to meet the Lord Jesus Christ.
And now there is a report that is given. And what do you do with the report? What will your response be to the report? We have just one message for you tonight. Believe the report. Believe the report. The last word that begins with B is in verse number 5. And I know that Daryl knows this verse by heart because this is the verse that Daryl was saved through, I think, isn't it? Isaiah 53, verse 5, and it begins with one little three-letter word beginning with B. But. So behold, believe, and but. Now those words may not line up in your mind, but hopefully at the end of our message, they'll make more sense to you. So this vision then that Isaiah is bringing, behold, he says, there's something to see here. What is it that God wants us to see? A God who is interested in a prophet delivering a message of peace. I don't know if you recognize or not, but Brody and I have beautiful feet. And Daryl has beautiful feet. And others here have beautiful feet because we are delivering. I mean, this is in the eyes of God now. God says that the feet are beautiful that bring a message of peace. How beautiful upon the mountains are the people that publish peace. I wonder tonight, of course, there are many things in our world that are not about peace. This world knows so little about peace. I mean, the politics of our day, in the nation to the south, in our nation, over in Europe, the whole world and its politics, they're just absolutely fractured. There's no peace anywhere. But you know that in a world where there is no peace, you need to have peace. You need to find peace. No, I'm not just talking about peace in your heart. That's a wonderful thing to have peace in your heart. It's wonderful to be able to lay down at night and have peace in your heart. But sometimes you can have peace and really there is no peace. Peace, and there is no peace. There's no reason for it. Because sometimes we can be lulled into a false sense of security and peace. But peace that the Bible talks about is a peace that has a basis, a foundation. It's based, the peace on the inside is not based upon circumstances, but rather it is based on peace with God. And if you have peace with God, you will never be at the judgment throne that we've been hearing about. John says, I saw that throne. It was future when John saw it. He was getting a vision. He was caught up to heaven so that souls like you and I, so a world could be warned that that day is coming. We don't know when, but we know it's coming. God has warned us. But it's so important to God that you have peace with Him, that you will never be there, that He sends the gospel. And that's why He sent His Son. And this word, behold, brings us fair and square to the central theme of our Bible and of the gospel itself, the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, he says. Oh, I want to tell you, we are constantly faced with advertisements, things that pop up, things that we're listening to. They're interrupted by some kind of an advertisement, hoping to grasp our attention and so that we'll buy something or something of the sort. And you know, this is almost like a pop-up. But it's not one of those annoying pop. Oh, it might be annoying to you tonight. This meeting might even be something you'd rather be somewhere else. I don't know. I think you're happy to be here. You agreed to be here. We're happy about that. But could this be something that just kind of comes across the horizon, comes across your mental imaging tonight? Behold. But for once tonight, instead of looking where the world wants us to look, instead of looking where the algorithms of the internet wants us to look, this is no advertisement, this is truth. Behold, what does God want you to see? Well, he says, behold my servant. Behold my servant. That's what he says, Isaiah 53 and verse 13. Who is his servant? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, we often preach that he is the Son. the eternal Son of God, come down to earth. And indeed he is. He always was the Son. He always will be the Son. He always is the Son of God. But Isaiah is telling us there is one that would come, that Son that would come. He makes this little piece of poetic literature. And it's a beautiful servant song. And it's about the servant of Jehovah when he would come, accomplishing a task that no one else could do. And that was to put away sin. He says, I want you all to see this. Behold my servant. And the entire nation that is this whole message of peace in the earlier part of the chapter, the joy that will break forth after all the sadness of a world and the ages linked with sin and judgment and all the wreck and ruin of our day, when that's all done, and a new season of peace will break forth, indeed in a future, in a millennial time, but even for us as Christians in heaven, it'll be a wonderful thing to know it will all because there was a servant that came to fulfill the will of God, to do what not one of us could ever do. You know, tonight we're not telling you that you can avoid this by your actions. We're not telling you that you can join a church, that you can be baptized, that you can do the best that you can, that you can join a religion. It's not about that at all. We're here to tell you God wants you to look at his Son, who is the servant, who accomplished a work. You know, we want to tell you, and we believe often in a very selfish sense that it's for me, and it is. But you know who he really was serving? He was serving God first. He was accomplishing God's purposes first. Do you know who was bothered most by sin? You know, we're not really bothered that much by sin. Sometimes we might get a little conscience because of sin. We should, and we do. But really, God is the one who was bothered by sin. Sin is offensive to God. Sin must be dealt with. Sin must be punished. It must be judged. That's what that throne is about. It has to be dealt with righteously. But the only reason sinners will need to receive the sentence in that day is because they refused to behold the servant and the work that he did. That's God's intention, that you would behold the servant. He came to serve God. But you know, the Lord Jesus, when he was here, he said, I came not to be ministered, to be served, to be ministered to, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. He came to give his life to serve God, yes, but to serve you and I, to deliver you from the punishment of our sins. He came to provide you with a doorway that will avoid all of that so that you will be in heaven while all of that is going on. I wonder if tonight there's someone, and I can whet your appetite to behold the servant. But he says, behold my servant, and he begins to talk about the prosperity and the exaltation, the one that will sit upon the throne, but in this future day, he'll reign as a king, and his exaltation will just seem to get higher and higher and higher. And he says the kings will actually be astonished at him that one could rise so high. No other has ever risen so high. But he says the secret to that one who will rise so high and will be exalted and will be worshiped is that he stooped so low and suffered so much. He pleased God by that. He suffered because of sins. He stooped from heaven. There was no other reason he came to be a man. There was no other reason he walked. He didn't come to live and to work as a carpenter. Those were all things that happened when he was here. He came to suffer for sins. Behold my servant. And he says, He will be exalted and extolled, but he said his visage was so marred. He says his face, the whole being, his whole being was completely altered so that he really wasn't recognizable as a man. You know, all through his sufferings, long before, in fact, through the night hours on the day of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, the Bible tells us, this very passage tells us, he was hurried from prison and from judgment. He wasn't given a fair trial. Before the sun even arose in the morning, there was a trial, a religious trial, before the high priest of that day. And even when there was still darkness in the land, as they were falsely accusing the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to find a means that they could bring to the Romans so that he could be crucified, so that he could be killed. They wrongly accused him. They kept sleep from him. But even in that trial, the Gospel of Matthew tells us that they buffeted him in the face with his hands. His visage was beginning to be marred, changed, before the sun even came up on the day of his crucifixion. Didn't stop there. At 6 a.m, they took him to Pilate. And Pilate brought him into the judgment hall. And he was back and forth with the people. And he was delivered to Pilate. And all through the hours of that morning, as he was with soldiers and held by soldiers, he was mocked and he was punched. And they slapped him with the palms of his hand, their hands. And they grabbed his beard and they ripped it from his face. And they took long eastern thorns. They wove it into a crown. They put it upon his head. They even took a reed and they smashed that into his head. And the Bible says even what man did to him, human beings to the Creator, his visage, his face was altered. But his body was whipped. There was a person trained with the human whip, with the Roman whip. It was a long whip with tails on it, with hard bits embedded in the leather. And the man was trained to use it, and he would use it across the back of the Lord Jesus. And as it wrapped around his torso, it would actually even bite into the front and open the flesh so that the front was opened and the back was opened. And when they had done everything they could do, they took him and they crucified him and hung him up. And there he is. He's spiked. He's whipped. He's been punched. The beard has been ripped from his face. He's dehydrated. He's suffering. And then when man could do no more, the whole land was covered in darkness. And what we are seeing is not just what the human eye could see, but it's what the eye of God saw in the darkness. The one that was now unrecognizable as a man, just a mass of bleeding flesh, now he is made to suffer more than any person has ever suffered in the darkness by the hand of God. So that it wasn't only what man did to him, it was what God did to him, did to his own servant. And that's why God says, Behold my servant. He suffered unparalleled suffering. No one has ever suffered like him, because no one has ever suffered the judgment of God for sin. And if you turn your eye from that and say it's meaningless, that's why God has a judgment throne for sinners that refuse what the Lord Jesus did. Behold, my servant. The second one, who hath believed our report? Comes down to this at this meeting. What will you do with what the Bible says about Christ and you? What about the great white throne? What about the report of our sin? The Bible tells us we are accountable for who I am. We're responsible for my sins. I'm accountable for my actions. But the Bible also says that the Lord Jesus became accountable for my sins. He took my place and he suffered in my place. Now, what will make the difference for you? You know that as a fact, I believe. But what will make the difference is, do you believe the report? Do you believe that you deserve that? What Christ suffered should have been you, should have been me. Who hath believed a report? Do you really believe that you are that sinner? Do you believe that you stand as an individual sinner before God without a hope, without an appeal, with no other means of salvation? Because there is no other means of salvation. As far as the Bible is concerned, it is either behold the throne or behold the servant. Which one will it be tonight? Tonight, this whole meeting is to facilitate a meeting with God so that you can avoid that throne. God has done everything, sent his son. Now, do you believe the report? Do you accept it as true? Is it something that is pertinent to you and where you are and who you are? The Bible says it is. The Bible says it affects every single one of us. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is an accountability for who I am. There is an action that God has taken. They thought he was smitten of God and afflicted because of what he did. But they'll realize it was because of what we did. It was my sins. In that future day, these people's eyes will be, their attention will be upon him. Where's your attention tonight? Behold, my servant. Who hath believed the report? Do you accept this as true tonight? You giving God credit for telling the truth? The last word, but he was wounded for our transgressions. It's where a change takes place. A change in your thinking. And that's what we're hoping tonight. That just as in these people, there comes a point where everything changed in their mind, in their attitude. They thought he was suffering for what he did. They didn't understand all of his suffering that Isaiah was foretelling. One of those 330-some prophecies that Brody reminded us of. These are some of them. He was wounded. And they realize, we thought it was something to behold, but we didn't know why. We thought it was because of what he did. We thought he was an imposter. We rejected him. Listen, you may have rejected him before, but what will you do tonight? That's where the but comes in. And for these people, there will be this but. But God has been trying to tell us all along He was wounded for our transgressions. He was wounded for our iniquities. The punishment that I deserved was upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. Brody was talking about putting your name in. You could almost put your name into this tonight. But He was wounded for transgressions, sins, so that I could have peace. He was punished for me. Behold my servant. He served God, but He wants to be your Savior and to serve you in that sense, having taken your sins at Calvary. Shall we pray? Our Father, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus. We appreciate truth, and we have been faced with truth that is difficult for the human mind to grasp, that there will be a throne suspended in space where the books will be opened and the evidence will be gone into, and souls will be judged, made accountable, and made they'll realize they're accountable. They'll acknowledge it. Their knee will bow, and they will bow before the one who will have the nail prints in His hands that was nailed to the cross. We pray that someone tonight might turn and behold the Savior, and even tonight might believe the report, and that that butt of change might come into their experience tonight and realize they were wrong about themselves. They were wrong about the Lord Jesus, and they should just receive Him and accept Him tonight. We would pray Thy blessing tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.